Radio Prague News.
MPs have approved a communist proposal to tax church property restitution money. Czech spa towns join a united European bid for UNESCO World Heritage status. And in sports, Czechs dominate at the ongoing Australian Open in Melbourne. The lower house of parliament has approved a controversial communist proposal to tax religious groups on monies they receive in line with the property restitution law of 2012. The proposal, now in its third reading, faces an uphill battle in the Senate. Opponents argue it is both unjust and unconstitutional to tax money paid in compensation for property that was confiscated by the former communist regime. The ANO Social Democrat coalition government backed the proposal by the communists, who threatened to withdraw support for the minority government if it was rejected. The western Bohemian spa towns of Karlovy Vary, Františkovy Lázně, and Mariánské Lázně have entered a joint bid for inclusion on the UNESCO World Heritage List. In total, 11 European towns, known for their healing thermal waters, have joined the bid, filed in Paris on Tuesday, under the heading The Great Spas of Europe. The concept behind the joint UNESCO application in part highlights the role of spa towns during the 18th century through the 1930s as intellectual hotbeds, which helped spread the idea of a united democratic Europe. 6 out of 10 Czechs consider terrorism to be a serious threat to peace and security in the country, according to a new survey by the Center for Public Opinion Research. At 61%, that figure is down 10 percentage points from a 2016 survey and down 20 percentage points from a survey the year before, when the European refugee crisis began. However, after terrorism, respondents cited international organized crime and refugees as the next biggest possible threats to national security. Just over half, 54%, said these were serious threats. Armenia's prosecutor general has asked the Czech Republic to extradite the nephew of former president and prime minister Serge Sargsyan to face drug trafficking and other charges. The politician's nephew was detained by police in Prague in December. He faces charges for drug trafficking and the illegal possession of firearms and explosives. The average price of a new home sold in Prague increased by 18.6% last year, a group of developers have said. Meanwhile, the number of residential dwellings sold in the capital city dropped by 9% to 5,000 last year. That is the lowest number since 2012, the developers said. Karolina Plíšková has reached the semifinals of the Australian Open for the first time. The Czech tennis champion was losing in the third set, but saved 4 match points to eventually overcome Serena Williams of the US. She will now face Naomi Osaka of Japan for a place in the final. Wednesday's results makes an all-Czech final in Melbourne possible, as two-time Wimbledon winner Petra Kvitova will next face Danielle Rose Collins of the US in the other semifinal on Thursday. And finally, the weather. Thursday should be cool and cloudy throughout the country. Daytime highs are expected to range between -3 and 1 degrees Celsius. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the news for now.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's program, Lower House has passed amendment taxing church restitutions. Czechs are marking 20 years since the death of Jaroslav Foglar, youth movement activist and author of the legendary comics Rapid Arrows. And later we visit the annual ice sculpting festival in Pustevny in the Beskydy Mountains. All that coming up, so please stay with us. A new amendment has been passed through the lower house of parliament which would tax church restitutions. Its author, the Communist Party, says it could save the state 380 million crowns annually. However, the Senate is unlikely to support the bill. Tom McEncrow reports.
The restitution law allows churches and other religious organizations to be reimbursed by the state for property seized from them during the communist era. In total, churches are to get back around 75 billion crowns worth of property and 59 billion crowns in financial compensation for property which the state cannot return. The payments, which are adjusted for inflation, are being made in stages over a period of 30 years. However, ever since it was passed by a centre-right government in 2013, the restitution law has been a hotly debated issue, with opponents criticising the rights of religious organisations to gain so much wealth given their relative low following among the public. In fact, taxing the financial compensation paid out by the state was also one of the conditions on which the Communist Party supported the current minority government. On Wednesday, the Chamber of Deputies voted through the Communist Party proposal for an amendment taxing the financial restitutions with 106 votes. The Communists say that from the roughly 2 billion crowns paid out to churches every year, the state could thus save around 380 million crowns annually. The taxation would not impact reimbursement that has already been paid out. During the reading, Communist Party leader Wojciech Filip also questioned the whole basis of the original law.
What happened was some sort of agreement where state property was to be handed over to churches and church institutions. This is no restitution, and if these payments are being made by the state, then it is logical for them to be taxed.
President Miloš Zeman has said that he would support taxing church restitutions. The only obstacle in the way of the amendment being passed is therefore the Senate, which is currently occupied by a majority from opposition parties that voted against it. If the Senate does not pass the amendment, it will be returned to the lower house, which can overrule the Senate's veto in a new vote. The restitution law does not just include property that belonged to 16 of the country's churches, but also assets lost by the Federation of Jewish Communities. The Federation's secretary, Tomáš Kraus, says that his organization will consider opening up the topic of how Jewish property was lost to the state through the impact of Nazism.
The Holocaust was not just the largest mass murder in history, but also its greatest robbery. Ownership of these properties, because they no longer had any owners, then transferred to the state. We never opened up this chapter in the past. However, I think now is maybe the time to do so.
Tomáš Kraus, secretary of the Czech Federation of the Jewish Communities, ending that report by Tom McEncrow. Now, Czechs are marking 20 years since the death of Jaroslav Foglar, youth movement activist and author of the legendary comics Rapid Arrows. Among the events remembering the famous writer is a performance of his novel Mystery of the Puzzle Box at Prague's Minor Theatre, which has been sold out for weeks. Meanwhile, the Scout Foundation of Jaroslav Foglar, which is in charge of his heritage, is releasing a special limited edition of his autobiography. I asked the foundation's Pavel Trantina to tell me more about it.
The autobiography is quite a special thing because we found the draft of this biography in the flat that we accepted after the death of Jaroslav Foglar. And part of it was already published, but part of it hasn't. And we decided to give it a new graphic shape. And what's special on that limited edition is that actually it includes artifacts that we found in the flat. That means lots of different papers, prints, stuff like that, which will be very interesting for the collectors. There will be 200 absolute originals.
Last year, you launched a brand new edition of Jaroslav Foglar's novels, illustrated by contemporary Czech artists. And one of the aims was to attract a new generation of readers. Did you succeed? How did these books sell?
I would say so, because actually there were two more waves of printing of the first book, which is Hoše Babřížek, Boys from the Beaver Creek. So actually that shows that there is a huge interest. The same goes for Chata v Jezerním Kotlině, a cottage in the lake area. And we hope that it will be the same with the new books which are planned for 2019.
And I believe this is not the only edition of Foglar's works that you plan to bring out this year. There are various editions that you are planning to introduce in the future.
You're right, because we are also going to do a kind of reprint of the originals for those who prefer the previous editions with Zdeněk Burian's illustrations and others. Plus, there are many other smaller initiatives. So for instance, the books that were not written by Jaroslav Foglar, but which are kind of continuation of his work, all the books about Jaroslav Foglar. So we are basically counting on the interest of the public, both older and younger, and so far it seems that we are on the right track.
20 years after his death, he still is one of the best-selling authors for children. Why do you think his books are still so attractive, even for generation of today's kids?
I would say that they still appeal to the kids' hearts, to the desire to live an adventure. And this goes hand in hand with the popularity of scouting in the Czech Republic, because we've seen a steady growth for 12 years in numbers of scouts, so it's a kind of revival of scouting in the Czech Republic. Simply, there are things that remain constant, you know, a desire to find a group of like-minded people to enjoy adventures together. Only the form of this is changing a bit, but the desires are there.
Pavel Trantina of the Scout Foundation of Jaroslav Foglar. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. A giant dragon, a knight in armour, or a beautiful princess. These are just some of the monumental ice sculptures currently on display at the annual Ice Sculpting Festival in Pustevny in the Beskydy Mountains in the northeast of the Czech Republic. Pustevny is a mountain saddle and one of the major tourist resorts of the Beskydy Mountains. It was named after the hermits who used to live there in caves until the mid-1870s. Today, the place is known mainly for its picturesque Art Nouveau mountain chalets designed by architect Dušan Jurkovič at the end of the 19th century. In recent years, Pustevny has also become famous for its annual ice sculpting festival, which attracts thousands of visitors each winter. Čák Hrtusová, one of the festival organizers, outlines more details about the event, which is now in its 19th year.
Vesměs se začínalo teda sněhovými suchami, a potom se přidaly ty ledové.
The festival actually started with snow sculptures, but in the year 2000 we decided to create ice sculptures as well. This year's edition started on January 12th and runs until January 27th, and over the course of 3 weeks visitors can come and admire the floodlit statues. The main topic of this year's event are fairy tales. One of the tents might be a bit frightening for small kids. It's because it represents hell. It is beautifully illuminated and looks really convincing. The other one is a dragon's den with a small dragon and a princess.
Menším dráčkem, ten druhý stan je teda dračí doupě.
The tent depicting Ice Hell can be found just a few steps from the chairlift station. At its entrance is a huge head of a devil with its tongue sticking out. With over 20 meters, it is the biggest ice statue in the history of the festival. The preparation works took more than a week, during which the six sculptors shaped over 40 tons of ice. Most of the time, they worked in freezing conditions, says one of the members of the technical team.
The statues are made of huge 70-kilogram ice blocks, which are shaped by chainsaws, grinders, and all sorts of other tools. It takes the artists about a week to complete the statues, and some of them are partly made of snow to achieve a different structure and a different color.
Dita Korčák-Hrtusová adds more details.
The blocks of ice are made for us in a frozen foods warehouse in Opava, with work on them starting as early as September. This year, their transport to Pustevny was a bit complicated due to heavy snowfall. After they're brought up here, the artists use the blocks of ice to build an ice wall, and only then they start carving the statue itself.
The team of sculptors comes to Pustevny twice a year, creating ice statues in winter and wooden or sand ones in the summer. Most of them come from the Czech Republic, but there are also artists from neighboring Slovakia and Poland. Their sculptures attract dozens of thousands of visitors each season who greatly appreciate the event.
We
have been coming here for 3 years already, and it gets better each year. It is a great event. We saw the Ice Hell, which was really frightening for kids, especially the people being boiled in cauldrons. I was really impressed. I have been coming here for several years now, and I am always impressed. Both the tents are really interesting. It must be a hard work for the sculptors, but it's a great experience for the visitors.
Tam to vyobrazení těch lidí v tom kotli. To se mi líbilo jako hodně, no.
Navštěvuju to tady už po několikáté, vždycky jsem moc spokojená.
I have been coming here for several years now and I'm always impressed. Both of the tents are really interesting. It must be hard work for the sculptors, but it's a great experience for us visitors.
Vytvářejí, ale je to velký zážitek.
And what happens with the statues once the festival comes to an end? Dita Korčáková-Hrtusová once again.
My ty sochy umístíme do stanu a to je vlastně z důvodu toho, aby...
We keep the statues in a special tent to make sure they last for the three-week exhibition. If the weather allows, we would like to prolong the festival by an additional 2 weeks, just like we did in previous years, because there is such a huge interest in the event. Once we remove the tent and the sun starts shining on these statues, they usually melt within a day or two.
A ve chvíli, kdy vlastně sundáme stany, tak a na ty sochy zasvítí, tak během jednoho, dvou dní oni roztajou.
The annual ice sculpting festival is not the only highlight attracting visitors to Pustevny. In addition to ice art, there is also a rich entertainment program for children, sledding, sleighing, an outdoor market and a popular walk to Radhošť, offering beautiful views of the entire Beskydy mountain range. Just last week, a new treetop trail was opened in Pustevny, just below the peak of the Tanečnica mountain. Its glass observation desk, located 1,099 meters above sea level, offers stunning views of the nearby landscape. When the skies are clear, you can see all the way to Jeseňky or the Fatra Mountains in Slovakia. And now in the final part of our program, we visit the Pavlov Animal Rescue Station in the Czech Moravian Highlands. Jan Wellinger has more.
Stanice Pavlov, a highly recognized animal rescue station in the Czech Moravian Highlands, has succeeded after several years of setbacks in successfully breeding a litter of European mink. The European mink is an endangered animal, which has disappeared from most of continental Europe as its natural habitat, wetlands, gradually became more and more rare. And that wasn't the only detrimental factor. I spoke to the director of the Pavlov Rescue Center, Zbyszek Karafiat, who confirmed the four mink young, born in May, were healthy and would soon be named. He told me how the situation for European mink became so precarious.
European mink, once common across the continent, is very much endangered, and the factors which led to this are several. One was the disappearance of wetlands and meadows and floodplain forest. The second factor is that they used to be hunted for their fur, and the third is that they've been driven out and today prevented from returning to the wild by the American mink. The American species was bred on farms for their pelts, but some escaped and bred in the wild. They are twice as big as the European mink and have no natural predator. The European mink was driven out.
The rescue station's director, Zbyszek Karafiat, points out an additional factor that was while American and European mink could mate, the animals are unable to successfully crossbreed. Zbyszek Karafiat again.
The American male chases away the European one and mates and can impregnate the European female, but the embryos never survive but die at a certain point. This badly disrupts the female's reproduction cycle for the year and further leads to dwindling population numbers.
Indeed, the two adult mink kept at Pavlov are the only ones in the entire Czech Republic. The male originally was provided from the zoo in Děčín and the female from the zoo in Tallinn, Estonia, under the European Endangered Species Program. To successfully breed, the animals need to be made to feel secure in their surroundings, and stress can mar even success, with the parents killing the offspring. That was not the case this year.
Last year, the mother killed her young within the space of a week, eating them, so we had to be very careful for that not to happen again. Generally speaking, not enough is known about the reproductive process of these mink, but we know that stress can play a huge role and that they are very susceptible to it. That is what happened before. This year, we were very careful that their keeper was the only one that basically entered their surroundings with food, someone the animals could trust, and the space was left exactly as the animals wanted it, in certain disarray in which they are comfortable. So this year's breeding, we believe, was a success.
What's next for the European mink being raised at Pavlov? Zbyszek Karafiat says the future of the young has yet to be decided, but some of the young, when they are older, will be relocated to different parts of Europe. He said he expected that the females would remain at the station he heads, that under the existing program they would receive a new male for breeding, while the young females would be sent abroad. Of course, the role of the Pavlov Center, as successful as it has been this year, is greater than just raising endangered mink. Zbyszek Karafiat once more.
We serve the entire region of Vysočina and other animals we are currently caring for include four otters, numerous birds of prey, including an imperial eagle, a peregrine falcon, and a red kite, and many others, including a small population of endangered owls, of which only 70 are left in the wild. Our role is also to teach environmental issues to children and school kids who visit throughout the year. Kids learn about the animals, and we can see about 5,000 visitors each year.
And while the work never ends, those who do work at the animal rescue station are heartened by the fact that locals continue to report when they spot hurt animals or animals in distress, so the specimens can be successfully treated and cared for.
That is our main aim. We can always help at weekends, on holidays. Right now, we're in a period when we most often treat young, from various birds to hares. Sometimes people mistakenly bring young in, so we care for those animals too. Then there are all numbers of rare species which get hurt and likely wouldn't recover on their own. Thanks to people who notice, they have a chance at survival and at returning to the wild.
Jan Wellinger with that report, which was first broadcast in March 2015. And that brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.